And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD, I'm going to warn you right now, this is going to be very difficult for some people in leadership. The four opposites of a good shepherd. The four opposites of a good shepherd. Also, we're going to look at things that should be taken seriously. Going to look at a scriptural reference for that. The professor of retirement, our very own Marty Schneider. You got two Jewish guys talking about money and Jesus. Always a good time. He'll join us live. And today's Facebook post, H-O-P-E, stands for...
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and more than conquerors, prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Yes, we actually do have to cover that this hour. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation except for Wrigley Spearmint Gum. I don't have any. So there's no conversation. It's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. The David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Gonna take a short break and then come back, but stand by for SRN News.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Arguments have started in the Senate over the nomination of Judge Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. Democrats are promising to filibuster. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says the support Neil Gorsuch has been getting raises red flags.
Do you think the Heritage Foundation and the Federalist Society, organizations way on the right side of America, are putting all this dark money in for someone who will just call balls and strikes? Most of my caucus members doubt it.
While Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says the strategy by Democrats to block Gorsuch's nomination will not work.
No Supreme Court justice has ever been stopped with a partisan filibuster. That is obviously what the Democratic leader has announced they will do. We are optimistic that they will not be successful in keeping this good man from joining the Supreme Court very soon.
There are reports that McConnell is strongly considering using the nuclear option to produce a simple majority to put Gorsuch on the court, much as Democrat Harry Reid did in 2013. The White House is strongly disputing a Washington Post story about former acting Attorney General Sally Yates.
According to the newspaper, the Trump administration tried to block Yates from testifying to Congress in the investigation of links between Russian officials and the Trump presidential campaign. But the White House is forcefully denying the Post story. Press Secretary Sean Spicer says the White House has taken no action to prevent Yates from testifying, and to suggest otherwise, he says, is completely irresponsible. Spicer says the Washington Post story is entirely false. Greg Clugston, The White House.
President Trump's move to roll back Obama-era regulations on climate change is unlikely to turn around the coal industry anytime soon. Experts say coal's biggest problem isn't pollution rules, but cheap and abundant natural gas. Also, mining has become more automated and needs fewer workers than it once did to extract a given amount of coal. On Wall Street, the Dow by 150 points. This is SRN News.
Hey, K-Praise friends. Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
The Hometown Advantage. It's up and down Main Street. It's also in the office downtown, the factory by the river, and the farm down the road. That's because most folks who work here love living here. They care about this community. They work hard to succeed, and that makes a difference. At HelpWantedSanDiego.com, we're proud to work our hometown advantage around the clock, connecting local employers to local job seekers. Post your job today on HelpWantedSanDiego.com. Local jobs that work. The hometown advantage. You see it in the shops and offices downtown, in our factories, schools, and farms. Jeff the accountant has it. So do Corey in IT and Amber, the vet tech. They found local jobs at HelpWantedSanDiego.com. It's where local employers find local workers like you, people who care about this community. Search jobs and apply online right now. Get the advantage of finding a job close to home at HelpWantedSanDiego.com. Local jobs that work.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. This segment brought to you by Whitefields Ministries and our good friend Steve Wheeler, who we can't figure out whether he's in Japan or not. We think he might be. We're not sure. I know he was going there, but, you know, he could be anywhere in the world. That's really the kind of thing with Steve. Here's the deal with Whitefields Ministries, taking the gospel to the four corners of the earth. They're helping rural pastors educationally, financially, and morally, and just encouragingly. They're helping people with clean drinking water who don't have any water systems at all. And they're helping ministries and ministers and churches and missionaries network. That's cool stuff. Whitefields.org. That is the name. That is the name-a-roo for the ministry. Whitefields Ministries, whitefields.org is the name-a-roo for the URL, the website. They have videos and pictures. They have testimonies. If you're ever just feeling like you want to know if God's active in the world, if you go and read some of their testimonies on their testimony wall, you'll be like, yep, the Lord be doing stuff. Because he is doing stuff all the time. That's what's so cool about God. He just always... I don't know, just always doing stuff. I love it. If we're sensitive and aware, I mean, you could just, you absolutely know that's true. If you just spent an hour straight reading the Word of God, you would find out, hey, the Lord's active. And he'd be active in your heart and mind right then and there. Whitefields.org. That's their website, 760-846-8610. I think it's Danielle now who answers the phone. 760-846-8610. And Steve asks, and he's the person that subs for me as a host. He asks, look, just pray for the ministry. It's all we're looking for, the prayer. Because they believe that the prayer is what initiates and connects believers to the cause of spreading the gospel. So I love it. You got to appreciate that. That's cool stuff. All right. Tough DDD coming up here. No sound for this, which is appropriate because it's tough. I came in the beginning of my Christianity, and some have heard my full testimony. It's rather long, so we won't get into that now. But I was involved in a church that became a self-evolved shepherding church, which then turned cult-like. So I am highly aware in my 40 years of being a Christian of, you know, churches where the pastor or the church leadership steps into abuse positions because I went through it. That's why I wrote the book that I wrote, Church Disappointment, His Appointment, which you can go to hisappointment.com. We don't make any money from the book. Every dollar that we get, although it is true, I did get a pizza one time. But I did put $5,000 into it. So, I mean, I guess there's a trade-off. It was a $5,000 pizza. Anyway, the idea is to just promote that people might not detract from their connection and communion with the Lord, even if they have a bad church experience. In this passage, there's not a desire to be gunning for pastors. This is just a passage in Zechariah that gives you an understanding as to what is a shepherd using the opposite definitions. So here we go in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 15 through 16. It says this. The Lord also said to me, take the equipment of a foolish shepherd. I'm about to raise up a shepherd in the land who will not care for those who are going astray. He will not seek the lost. He will not heal the broken, and he will not sustain the healthy. There are four definitions in this portion of Zechariah that tells you what a shepherd is not. In other words, these are things that a shepherd should be doing, but a foolish shepherd doesn't do them. There are four things. We're going to talk about each four of them. Before we do, I want to address a passage that has been humorously abused by those in spiritual authority. It's not humorous to the people that they use it on, but they'll use a passage in Psalm 105, verse 15, saying you should never say anything against a pastor because it's wrong to do so because of this verse. Psalm 105, verse 15, do not touch my chosen and do my prophets not no harm. And actually, what they'll quote you is the King James Version, if you don't mind. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And a pastor who is an abuser will quote that scripture. If your pastor quotes that scripture to you because he's trying to get you to line up in order, that's the time to hit the road. See you later. That dude is not a shepherd. Move on. Because Psalm 105, verse 15, which they will quote, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm, has nothing to do when it talks about the anointed. That has nothing to do with church leadership at all. When it says, touch not my anointed, those are the general people of God. The Psalm 105, verse 15, was directed against a pagan king. And God was saying, don't touch my anointed, don't touch my chosen people, don't touch my anointed ones, don't touch mine. The New Living Translation says, do not touch my chosen people. The English Standard Version says, touch my not my anointed ones. The New American Standard, touch not my anointed ones. Christ is anointed one. Christians are anointed ones, plural. And do my prophets no harm, do my people, my spokespeople no harm. This is a command against Gentile kings. If a pastor in a church is using this, he's a Looney Tune. And if he doesn't like it, you have him call 866-577-2473 and put him on the air. I'll talk to him anytime, anywhere. Now let's talk about what that pastoral abuse is that God talked about regarding a shepherd. He says, one, a foolish shepherd will not care if there are those who are going astray. They don't care about people who are losing it. They're not standing firm in the faith. A foolish shepherd will not care about the lost. You have to care about those who are going in a wayward manner. You have to care about the lost. A foolish shepherd will not care if there is healing that needs to be applied to broken sheep. And there are plenty of broken sheep. And a foolish shepherd will not sustain the healthy. So here's what you got to have. Yeah, in a positive format, you got to have a pastor who cares about believers who are having a tough time and some of them are really struggling and going astray. You have to have a pastor who has a passion for the lost, who don't even know what's up and what's down. You got to have a pastor who cares about broken sheep who need healing and they need love and they need to be safe. And you need to have a pastor who cares about the healthy, that the healthy are sustained and maintained and fed and strengthened. That's what you got to have. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." The measure to follow a leader in Christianity is the reflection of Jesus Christ as declared by Scripture and reflected in that pastor's living. If you look at your pastor and you're not really witnessing Jesus, there is a problem indeed. A great pastor, and there are many in San Diego, a great pastor cares about the sheep that are going astray, cares about the lost, cares about healing those sheep that are wounded, and cares about sustaining the healthy, and doesn't use spiritual authority to proclaim spiritual authority, just like Jesus didn't use his authority as the Son of God to make everybody serve him. For he who is the Son of God came to serve, not to be served. Right? That's the example of Jesus Christ. I'll never forget this one experience, and we'll just kind of let it go. I had this guy come up to me at church in Flagstaff. I'd never met him before. He introduced himself. I shook his hand, and he said, "I just want you to know that I'm an apostle of God." And you know what I said to him? I said, "I want you to know that if you were an apostle of God, you wouldn't have to tell me you're an apostle of God. Bye-bye." That's what you get when you get the truth. You get the truth. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Gonna take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
For centuries, it's been called a land of promise. Today, it's a land of blessing. This year, come and experience for yourself the only place God called my land. Experience Israel this fall and celebrate Jerusalem's 50th anniversary. A once-in-a-lifetime trip awaits as you travel with AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station, and Pastor Sean Thornton, host of All Things New Radio. Tour Israel like never before during 9 exciting days. You'll visit Galilee, the Jordan Valley, the Garden Tomb, and many such historic sites. Embolden your faith as you trace back the very steps of Jesus and experience firsthand the beauty of the Mediterranean landscapes, culinary delights, and return home with a renowned vision for your life. A dedicated team of passionate and knowledgeable professionals will lead this tour. 4- and 5-star travel accommodations will give you comfort and safety for the duration of the trip. For full cost and trip details, visit experienceisraeltour.com. That's experienceisraeltour.com.
How would you like a second source of income without having to work a second job? Does that sound just about too good to be true? Well, my friends at Online Trading Academy can show you how other people are doing this every day. You see, they have a patented core strategy that can help you learn how to follow what the big banks on Wall Street are doing and how profits are being made when the market goes up and even when it goes down. Right now, they are offering a free Wall Street Insider Kit, so you can get started right away. You just need to text the word INVEST to 57682. You'll get 2 online classes, instructional videos, and a guide that will help you learn to build that second income. It's all free. Text the word INVEST to 57682. They'll even throw in 2 free tickets to an upcoming workshop so you can ask questions and learn more. The market is making all kinds of moves. Are you ready to move with it? Text the word INVEST to 57682. That's INVEST to 57682. Message and data rates apply.
The iconic performer George Burns, who lived to be 100 years old, said near the end of his life, "I was always taught to respect my elders, and I've reached the age when I don't have anybody left to respect." That was his comedic take on aging, but he raised a good point. Who should we respect? Certainly our elders and those in authority over us,
But the truth is, every person should show respect to every other person, even those with whom we disagree. For this reason, every human being is created in the image of God. Respecting people is respecting God's creation. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's reasons for respect on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
This is Dan Proft of AM560 The Answer in Chicago for townhall.com. Allison Stanger, a self-identified liberal professor at Middlebury College, actually suffered a concussion early this month after being assaulted by leftist students protesting the presence of eminent sociologist Dr. Charles Murray on campus. Her assault has forced the left to address campus culture at America's elite universities. What the safe space social engineers find is that they've lost control of the young Frankensteins whose minds they filled with agitprop rather than intellectual curiosity. At Middlebury, Stanger was mugged by the reality, quite literally, that there is no safe space for dissent from the established campus orthodoxy. By abetting a contrarian view on campus, Stanger crossed into the enemy camp and thus became fair game. In her description of the violence, Stanger offered the cliched contention that we are at a quote-unquote boiling point. Are we? Or is it more accurate to say that thuggery is what leftist students have been taught since the 1960s, and now it's being used to silence dissent and extract what they want? I'm Dan Proft.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. You might be wondering, Dave, you seemed a little uptight in that last DDD, talking about the opposites of a shepherd. You seemed a little, you know, maybe right there at the edge. And you would be correct. It is one area that I consistently work on. I think that there are fantastic pastors throughout the community. Ray Bentley's one of my fave guys, a friend of mine. So I love him. Great, great, great guy. And just as an example, he's just a great guy, approachable. You can talk to him. He's pretty big. I mean, he's got a 9,000 person church. It's pretty big. It's not like it's small or anything, but he's just got that down to earth thing. When a minister is feeling threatened, they will tend to tighten their group. And I, as one who have gone through that, just think that the best thing that a minister can do is recognize that the people of God are, in fact, the people of God. These are God's people. And at best, we are all, right, not me now, but in the past, sub-shepherds at best, because there is a chief shepherd, and there's only one. His name is Jesus. And then there's the other shepherds. You see what I'm saying? And so it's important that when you're connecting to church and you're going to spend your life, your heart, your sweat, your blood, your finances, that you're connected to the church that you are growing in the Lord in, and that there's good relationship and healthy relationship, because right relationship leads to right ministry. That we know simply from the baptism of Jesus Christ, whom the Father said, "This is whom I'm well pleased," and Jesus hadn't done ministry yet. So there was something he was pleased with, and that was the relationship between the Son and the Father. So it's important to get those things in line. And the majority, by far, of churches are fantastic. And there are the hypersensitive Christians. If the pastor looks at you funny, oh, he doesn't like me. Okay, yeah, we're not talking about that. That's you being hypersensitive, even if the pastor was, you know, just, you know, like had a twitch in his leg or in a twitch in his face and you thought he was looking at you funny. That doesn't mean anything. What means something is if the pastor and the people in the church leadership genuinely care. If there's the weeping when you weep and the laughing when you laugh, and it's that family of God element. That's what counts. I just don't see it necessary to have spiritual abuse in the church, and we'll call it out if it comes up, because I don't have a problem with it. So far, I've been superbly blessed in San Diego. I think I've met one pastor out of 125 that I would say, but that's one. So that's pretty good. And no, I won't say the name. All right, so let's get into our next DDD, which we have a sound for, called Taking It Seriously. What's our sound?
Why so serious? Why so serious?
I probably should have used that for the last one. But I think about it, sorry. Malachi chapter 2, verse 1 through 2. This will be the last one we'll do in Malachi, I think, for a little while. I think I have one more, but, you know, we're out now. We're going to Genesis and in Matthew. Here we go, Malachi 2, 1 through 2. Therefore, this decree is for the priests. If you don't listen and if you don't take to heart to honor my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse among you. Uh-oh. And I will curse your blessings. In fact, I have already begun to curse them because you are not taking what I say to heart. Therefore, this decree is for you priests. If you don't listen and you don't take it to heart to honor my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse among you and I will curse your blessings. In fact, I've already begun to curse them because you are not taking what I've said to heart. First thing that's said in Malachi is you're not listening. So, this is something that we progress in. If my wife is talking to me and I nod my head and I go, that does not mean I'm listening. When you look at somebody and you nod your head and you're looking at them with your eyes, but your brain is 3,000 miles away or your brain is on your next task, you're not listening. When you receive sound decimals, you hear something, right? But when you're listening, it's making sense of those sound decimals. See the difference? Something can go in your ear and out the other ear and not process. It doesn't matter if you're a man, a woman, a child, or in fact, that matter, a family pet. It doesn't matter. In one ear, out the other. No processing. What we need to do is be listening to the Lord, making sense of that which we are hearing, taking those sound decimals and doing something with them. And a great lesson was taught by Focus on the Family. One of the best lessons, I thought, and that was this: to make sure that you are acknowledging the person that is talking to you and that you're listening, not on every sentence, but every so often in the conversation, repeat what they say back to them in a question format. So if my wife says, well, I went here and this happened here and this did this and this guy was really rude, then I would come back and say, was this guy rude to you because you did with the car? In other words, I'm engaged in the conversation at that point and she knows I'm engaged. If I just nod my head up and down, I'm not listening. Guess who knows that better than anybody else? God. So when the Lord speaks to you and you're in church and you act like you're paying attention, but you're not, God knows. It's like, yeah, you're not listening. It's like, oh. So we need to listen and we need to take it to heart, which means it needs to be a part of us. You know, when you take something to your heart, you know what that means? It means you take it and you put it in your heart, which means it becomes a part of you. You understand that, right? Take it to heart. Take it right into your being. But the Lord says this, and I hate this. I'm not going to be dishonest. I really dislike this. He says this. He goes, I will send a curse among you. I will curse your blessings. Oh, I'm not going to curse you, but you know, I was going to bless you, and I did bless you, and now I'm going to curse that thing that I blessed you with. What? No, I don't want my blessings cursed. Thank you. And for those that are thinking, well, that's just for priests, that doesn't really apply to me because it does say this is a decree for priests. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says this: you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifice to please God. You are a priest. You just don't recognize yourself that way, which means we need to listen. We need to take to heart that which God says and process it, because we certainly don't want our blessings to be cursed. You get what I'm saying, right? Don't freak out on me. It's simple. When the Lord's sharing, when he's speaking, when he's talking, when he's communing, we need to listen. And we need to take what he says and take it to heart and make it a part of us. That way we're taking it seriously. Okay? All right, cool. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him.
When Da I Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, "I will never believe your God and change my religion." But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Every married couple must be careful not to drift apart.
This is Real Family Life with marriage and family expert Dennis Rainey. Today is Tuesday, March 28th.
From the time we first got married to the time where we're drifting, you were just so isolated. You know, you were in your own little world. You put yourself in that box. I wouldn't let her in and I wouldn't come out.
That man has just described the state of many marriages today, the state of isolation. No one plans on getting married to be isolated, but as I've observed and counseled couples today, I've come to a sobering conclusion. Every marriage will naturally move toward a state of isolation. Husbands and wives always have a tendency to drift apart. That's why it's so important to make a concerted effort to communicate. My wife Barbara and I have a special date night once a week just to catch up and talk with one another. In order for that time to be effective, we both need to be transparent and honest, willing to share our deepest issues that are on our hearts. One final thought. Are you growing closer to your spouse, or are the two of you drifting apart? Why don't you take a moment and think of one thing you can do this week to connect on a deeper level? If you do make an effort to be close, you too can fight the drift toward isolation. I'm Dennis Rainey, and that's Real Family Life.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Yeah, we have guests that come in and out. We've had world-famous guests, international superstars, national superstars, sports stars, Hollywood stars, musical stars, but none any better than our financial star, our very own Marty Schneider, who is, by the way, in his own right a star because he is the retirement professor. You can reach him at theretirementprofessor.com or professorsocialsecurity.com. You can call him, which is easy because it's a phone and it's numbers. 800-727-PLAN. He's very good with numbers. 800-727-7526. Marty, sir, how are you?
Hi, David. I am doing great. I even had time to shoot out and use the restroom before we spoke here. I'm so excited.
So that gives you the opportunity just to relax and tell everybody what's going on, because people have been holding their breath, Marty, going, what is going on now? And does money matter? And should I just get one of those bunkers in the ground?
Absolutely, yes, is my answer. Interesting day. The market had a positive day today, and it's the first time the Dow Jones average, David, had gone up and it had gone down for 8 consecutive days, and we finally had a positive day. So markets kind of rebounded a little bit today, but it's one of those kind of day-to-day things, and you know, there's really not a particularly good reason for it to have gone down for the 8 days, nor is there a particularly great reason for it to have gone up today. So it's just kind of reading the headlines in the newspaper every day, and that really is driving the emotion today of the market right now.
All right, let me ask you this, a couple things right off the bat. One, the press is exceedingly negative towards Donald Trump by and large. It's not, yeah. I don't think there's a mystery. Now, if you're a Fox watcher, it's much more positive. If you're an MSNBC watcher, it's much more negative. If you're Ted Koppel, you need a new toupee. There's just these certain things that you look at. But the key component there is, can the press, and I know what you're, it's not supposed to, but can the press influence the market simply by their ideological approach to coverage?
Really? That's an outstanding question. And the answer is absolutely, because, you know, when we talked about the fact that the emotion of the market is driven by the headlines, well, the headlines are created, you know, by the news organizations that choose what, you know, what goes the, you know, front and up on the headline sheets and what's the first story on the you know, evening news kind of thing. So they absolutely are very impactful in the performance. I will say this, however, it tends to be that kind of reaction, the emotional reaction based on, you know, headlines kinds of stuff, tends to be shorter-lived fluctuations in the market. I mean, ultimately, what drives the market are going to be profitability and corporate earnings and, you know, is this company making money for its shareholders? And if so, that ultimately drives it. But the short-term emotional fluctuations are the press and the news reports are critical to the day-to-day headlines. Absolutely, David.
All right. So here's two or three other, I mean, there's some offshoots from this, which I'm sure you understand. Number one, in response to that, you know, the person who taught me about that process right there that we just discussed was Lou Grant in 1976 or 75 when he was doing his second series, the Lou Grant Show, and he said that the newspaper is biased, and the person said, why? And he said, because they pick the stories that you read, which yes. was pretty much but pretty much solved that for me. But from a market point of view, mm-hmm. is it possible, because Donald Trump is more of a businessman than a politician, that he said, okay, we lost in healthcare, that's a bummer, that deal went south, I don't care, on to the next deal, and just doesn't stop?
It is possible, and I think that's really the kind of the span, if you will, that the White House press corps is trying to put out there, is look, okay, you know, we'll get back to health care. It didn't work first time around. It's kind of put to the side. I don't think they're done with it, but I do think they're going to move on. And what they're moving on to, according to the White House news reports, is a tax reform that they've talked about as a critical part of their agenda, and addressing corporate taxes, personal taxes, estate and death taxes, so-called death taxes. And that is sort of front and center right now. And I know that they'd like to get, you know, something done by August, according to the press secretary yesterday. So that's an ambitious goal, David, because typically when it comes to, you know, major tax reform, it's not a quick and simple process, and there's lots of you know, individuals that need to give their input, and there's lots of lobbying groups that need to give their input. So this is typically a fairly long, drawn-out process. Not a simple one, but it is the next big project.
What would impact a person's retirement more, the healthcare situation, which is, you know, ultimately one-sixth of the economy, or tax cuts?
Yeah, boy, you know, that's another really good one.
I'm on a roll today, Marty.
Yeah, these are good questions, David. Yeah. you know, depending upon the circumstances, I mean, for most retirees at age 65, they're going to be on Medicare. So, you know, for most retirees, that sort of solves the biggest health care problem. Now, there's other, you know, copay and Medicare supplements to handle the pieces that Medicare doesn't pay for, but it's relatively minor in comparison to, you know, what a normal 45 or 50 year old family is going to have to deal with in terms of their health care premium. So probably tax reform would be more impactful, unless what comes down the pipe in terms of health care changes is a dramatic change to the Medicare system. And You know, I from what I'm hearing, keeping my ear close to the ground, I don't think anybody's really proposing any cutbacks on that particular system. So I'm going to guess that it's more likely that the tax reform could be more impactful. One of the things, David, that is proposed under the Trump plan is for a married couple, a $30,000 standard deduction. So they would, in effect, do away with a lot of the little kind of write-offs that people have on their tax return and just give everybody kind of a $30,000 built-in tax deduction, which would mean essentially that the first $30,000 of your income you pay zero tax on. So for retirees that may be on a, you know, on a fixed income and not having huge, you know, huge salaries or huge cash flow, I would think that that could be a tremendous benefit for a married retired couple. And by the way, for a single person, that same number would be $15,000 for a single tax filer. So that's the proposal. Now, that is not a done deal, but that's what the Trump administration would like to see.
All right, so let's use that. Let's use some of those numbers and kind of think this through. So if somebody was making, let's say it's a husband and wife, and they're making together $60,000, then if they got that proposal through, they'd be like saying, okay, well, the first 30, we're going to knock off the first 30, so you're going to be taxed on 30. But are they talking about getting rid of itemized deductions because of that? And then they would pay on the 30? And then what's the percentage?
Yeah, great question again. Well, what they're proposing is that they would reduce significantly the number of itemized deductions, and what they have proposed keeping on the itemized Schedule A would be mortgage interest and charitable giving, charitable gifts to your church, your tithes, and charitable gifts. So it would be the $30,000 deduction plus your mortgage interest and your charitable donations, and all of that would reduce the $60,000 gross number, and then you'd pay the tax on the net. Now, he's proposing three tax brackets, David, instead of seven. Currently, we have a seven-tier bracket system, and he's proposing kind of shrinking that down to three. And in the numbers we just talked about, it would be either a 10 or 12% tax rate after the $30,000 and the deductions are taken from the $60,000 income.
Now, would that then, when somebody's getting a paycheck, would that have already been coming out of their paycheck? Or is that something they're going to have to pony up beyond that?
No, that they would have that deducted, you know, like based on. But it may mean that they have less deducted from each paycheck because you'd want to sit down and do a calculation,
right?
Estimate what your taxes are and make sure you're not overpaying the tax along the way. But it would still come out as a payroll deduction to pay the taxes.
Yeah, see, because I think that those are the things, like you get these guys and they get together in Washington. This is not to be offensive to any group of people at all. But there's this miss between people who are making 25 and 30,000 and people who are making 75 and 80,000. It just seems like there's this huge gap. If you're making 100,000, you're not sitting fat cat, but you know, you're doing better than somebody's making 30, and if you're making, you know, 40, 50, you're doing better than somebody's making 12. I mean, there's those things. But you're making, you know, north of 250, 300, it doesn't become that same issue as paying rent. Which, you know, becomes a superbly important element since there's more renters now than there is homeowners. So, I mean, this is the area that it's just really difficult to understand. It's like, what are they, you know, are they, does anybody represent that mid guy?
Yeah, and I agree. And you know, under the proposals, the mid, you know, the truly that middle class person would be benefited somewhere, you know, depending upon exactly what their income is and their deductions and et cetera, their charitable gifts. But somewhere, it probably saves somewhere between $3,000 and $6,000 of income tax under this proposed system, which means you're putting $300 to $500 a month back in your cash flow as spendable income, and you know that's fairly significant. So. You know, if it goes down as proposed, we'll see. Boy, I want to say this, David, it is far from a done deal. I think there's going to be a lot of haggling on this before anything is put together. And I don't think this is going to be easy, even though I think it's going to be less combative than the health care issue, because I think most Republicans will be on board with some kind of a tax simplification. But there'll be still a lot of haggling going on.
Yeah, if they don't get this stuff done on the tax stuff, I'm hiring my dog. and my dog's taking over. I mean, because that's it. Because at that point, it's like, who cares? All right, great job, Marty. Excellent answers to these. And they're tough questions, right, Marty? I mean, there's probing questions. I want people to know we're thinking through this. But if you're looking to figure out how to approach your retirement and the planning of your retirement, and if you're sitting there thinking, I think I'm too far away from retirement, you need to get together with Marty more than ever. So you give them a call, 800-727-PLAN, 800-727-7526, or go to his websites, theretirementprofessor.com or professorsocialsecurity.com. Excellent job, Marty. I appreciate it.
Thanks, David. God bless you, brother. We'll talk next week.
You got it. Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break. Then come back with our Facebook post, Don't Go Anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top-selling realtor here in San Diego for over two decades, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs, thinksam.com. That's thinksam.com. God bless.
Ah, the sound of vinyl. Even though digitally recorded music is crystal clear, there is something about listening to your favorite music on an old school record. But it's also awfully nice to build a playlist of your favorite songs and listen to them wherever you go. Vinyl is nostalgic. Digital is cutting edge. The Bible is both. For example, read about Jesus defending common people to the religious rulers, or even crying over them, and your heart can be warmed. But read Paul's letters to the early church, and you might be confronted with something in your own life that needs correcting. Are you spending enough time listening to what God is saying to you in the Bible? The writer of Psalm 119 said, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path." You can learn more about the importance of God's word in your life at this website. FindPeaceWithGod.net from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
I want to be a warm place on a cool day.
Football stadium.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn earrings today.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Michaela's got, like, the best earrings.
Sarah, buckle up.
I wish my name was Michaela.
We're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh, yeah. Seatbelt. I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
It can be tough getting through to kids, but it's your job to make sure they're wearing your seatbelts. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Good show. Liked it. First hour, we really got into it, talked about the bitter test in life, seeing if we're bitter or not, and grabbing hold of the greater truth that we should be spending time justifying God, not justifying ourselves as though we have some unspoken need to present ourselves justified before others, there's only one that we better be just before, and that only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. No matter how many good works you do, we've talked about this before, the reality is Jesus counted the sins on the inside and the outside. He said, if you look at a woman and lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. All those sins on the inside, all those sins on the outside, every single day, if you're not averaging 10 sins a day, you're doing fantastic. But most people average somewhere between 10 and 30 sins a day, every nuance, every thought, every breath, every action accountable. If you go through an 80-year life, you will sin somewhere between 292,000 and 560,000 times. You won't have enough good works. Trust me. That ain't going to happen. All right, so I just wanted to bring that up. We are dependent on the grace of God. All right, so we're going to get ready to do our Facebook post. We have a sound, and our Facebook post is called H-O-P-E, stands for Let's Have Our Sound.
Hey, look, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Will It Float?
Now, that's a Steve Martin gag, isn't it? I'm pretty sure that
was Letterman. He used to do a bit, Will It Float?
Oh, that was the Letterman thing, Will He Float? Yeah, what happened to that guy? He turned into a loon, didn't he? All right, so here we go. Let's talk about it. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. I'm in a rare form today. Kind of like a blob. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 says this: we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. I love this illustration in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, because it talks about hope as being an anchor. Now, I am not a yachtsman. I'm barely a boat dude. We had some boats when I was growing up. My dad was really, really wealthy. That's like tugboat Todd. He knows boats. We had a sailboat, we had a rowboat, and we had a motorboat. Okay? Well, I got my license, my boating license, when I was 14. It's been a while. I know what an anchor does. I know what it doesn't do, but I also know what it does. And the idea of the anchor is to center the boat so that it does not go beyond the distance of the rope and the anchor so as to get lost in direction and caught up in the storm. It gives you a centering place of security. Well, that's what your hope is supposed to be. It's supposed to anchor you in the midst of rough waters. So I want you to think of hope for two major components: your situations and your eternity. Christians do a poor job of talking about the eternal hope because somehow in somebody's mind, they got everybody sitting on clouds playing harps, reading magazines from the dentist's office. It's like, really? That's your hope? We're supposed to be dancing on streets of gold. Okay, that's the hope. And we should have hope for our situations. No situation, of course, that we encounter greater than God himself, ever. And we need to think of our hope for situations and for our eternity as the anchor that keeps us from drifting wildly to the contrary winds of life. Okay, that's not hard. I got it. Think of hope is that which keeps us secure and steady and enables us to endure. Think of hope that way. Watch this. Think of hope when you are in troubled waters. That's when you think of hope. And I'm going to give you an acronym for hope. Ready? It's my own. Is it official? No. No, it's not official. It's just my acronym for hope. That's all it is. Ready? HOPE stands for this: Heaven Organizing Phenomenal Experiences. Heaven Organizing Phenomenal Experiences. That's what hope is. It's believing that heaven enters in to our situation and creates experiences that pushes us past contrary winds and troubled waters. Hope is heaven organizing phenomenal experiences. That's what hope is. That's something you can hang your hat on. That's something you can feel secure about. When heaven breaches into your universe and brings steadfastness and security, you're operating in the strength of hope. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk with you then.
The David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
You are a smart person. You know what side the butter goes on. You can't help but bark up the right tree. You even know who let the dogs out. So in your search for the perfect job, why aren't you using helpwantedsandiego.com? Where smart people like you know the easy way to find a local job. Millions of other smart people know they can upload their resume for free in just minutes. Plus, it's smart and mobile friendly. Just like that science guy. So, smart person, use that freakishly large noodle and find a job on helpwantedsandiego.com. Long name, amazing results. Okay, voice of my car, please program the location coordinates for my new job interview.
I cannot comply with that request.
Did you say no?
You don't want to drive that far to work. It makes you cranky.
I don't get cranky.
I recommend helpwantedsandiego.com.
My car is giving me career advice?
It's free, and uploading your resume is faster and easier than ever. You will find hundreds of great local jobs within easy driving distance.
Okay, fine, I'll do it.
Have I ever steered you wrong?
Well, technically, I do the steering.
Ha ha ha. Easy to use and easy to apply. HelpWantedSanDiego.com. Long name, amazing results.
Mark Larson and Tony Ramirez of Singing Hills Memorial Park.
Tony, we've been saying for years, Singing Hills Memorial Park is not what you think of in a cemetery. You know, it's a beautiful place, like going to a park, and you can only know that if you go out and take a free tour. Great time of the year to do that, but also explore some of the new additions and the new options.
Yes, sir. If you mention this ad, you will find significant savings if you come out and see us. We also have unique opportunities such as private estates for your own family.
New mausoleum is there now, too. The special garden areas. Just a gorgeous place, and it's a wonderful place to reflect on not only beautiful nature and creation, but also to think about the future. Do what we did years ago. Take care of those future needs so your family doesn't have to deal with it later on. That gives you peace of mind. It's a wonderful feeling. It really is. Go see our friends at Singing Hills Memorial Park, 619-444-3000.
Singing Hills Memorial Park.
619-444-3000.
NLS Bard gives patrons the freedom to read their way.
Bard is this beautiful web-based program for searching for books and for the ability to download them.
For more information, call 1-888-NLS-READ.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. House Republican leaders are promising to regroup and move forward after last week's stunning health care defeat.
Speaker Paul Ryan.
I have talked about the need to go from being an opposition party to being a proposition party and a governing party. It may take a little bit more time, but we are certainly listening, and we're going to get there.
And Ryan says that process is already underway.
We want to get it right. We're going to keep talking to each other until we get it right. I'm not going to put a timeline on it because this is too important to not get right.
Comprehensive tax reform remains near the top of that list.
Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines reporting. President Trump has signed an executive order that will roll back many of the former President Obama's regulations on climate change. On Wall Street, the Dow by 150 points to 20,701. The NASDAQ rose 35. The S&P advanced 17. Oil up to $48.37 a barrel. This is SRN.
This is AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, a service of Salem Media Group.
KPRZ, San Marcos, Poway, San Diego.
Thank you for supporting our ministry partners and advertisers.
Here's today's market update with KPRZ financial editor, certified financial planner Marty Schneider, the retirement professor.
Good afternoon, friends. Here's today's Wall Street report. U.S. stock market finished higher today with the Dow Jones average snapping an eight-day losing streak at the finish. The Dow is up 150 points at 20,702 on the blue chip index. The NASDAQ composite up about 35 points today at 5875 on the high techs, and the S&P up about 17 points to 2359. All three of the major indexes is nicely higher on this Tuesday. I want to remind you, friends, if you don't have your own long-term retirement income plan together, that is exactly the kind of work that I do for my clients each and every day right here in our Mission Valley offices. We help you put it all together, the IRAs, rollovers, 401ks, and, of course, Social Security planning as well. Call me to schedule your free consultation with me. The office number here is 800-727-PLAN. That's the news for the day, and I'm the retirement professor, Marty Schneider. Call me for your free consultation with me, 800-727-PLAN. That's 800-727-7526.
Discover the Word, sponsored by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
47 years ago, I have a dream. I am the luckiest man on the face of the earth. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Those are some famous lines from some famous speeches. Did you recognize most of those? Yeah, there are words in speeches that have changed the world in many ways. Well, today on Discover the Word, pull a chair up to the table with the group as they talk about how important words are for followers of Christ. But as inspiring as eloquence can be, there's an even better way to live out our belief in Jesus. Be part of the group as we discover the Word next. And this is Discover the Word, the weekday small group Bible study from Our Daily Bread Ministries. And this week, Mark DeHaan is leading fellow group members Elisa Morgan and Bill Crowder as they begin a study of the Apostle Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth and a focus on the familiar 13th chapter of that letter as we have it in our Bibles. Well, that chapter, of course, is known as the love chapter. And so the title of this series is Falling Into Love. And we're going to get this study started this week, and then over the course of the next year or so, come back to this chapter several times and continue to explore why love is so crucial for Christians to live out and what it looks like when we are. So the focus of this first week is to take note of how Paul emphasizes that something is missing if love isn't behind what we do, even if it's something like the ability to use words in an eloquent, an influential way.
As a rule, would you say that being good with words, being well-spoken, how important do you think that is in getting through life?
Well, I think depending upon what your role is, you know, if you're in certain kinds of positions in a business or a company or an organization, it might not be as critical to your advancement. Maybe other kinds of skills would trump that. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're going to be at any kind of a leadership level, you have to be able to communicate effectively.
That's well put. I was thinking, like, if you're a car mechanic or a software developer, it may be less important to be verbal. But to be a mom or a dad, mm-hmm. or to be a connector